A few days ago, we officially entered into fall for 2019. This morning, we want to think about fall in terms of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you've been with us on Sunday mornings for a number of weeks, we've been going through the Bible, trying to tie it together as a unit. We started with the Old Testament and looked at the various books there. We've gone through Matthew through John, tied that information together. We've taken a look at the book of Acts. We've gone through Romans. We've gone through 1 Corinthians. And now with 2 Corinthians, our pace has slowed a little bit. Today we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from two perspectives. This morning I want to go through carefully 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, just that one text for this lesson. If you're going to stay with us after lunch, we're going to look at the entire chapter and try to pull out some practical lessons from there. As several of you know, today is our Friends and Family Day, and if you have joined us for the first time, we want you to know that you are our honored guest. We are so glad that you're here. We also hope that you can stay for the lunch that will be after this service and eat with us and let us get a chance to know you a little bit better. If you can't stay for lunch, please know that we are delighted that you have chosen to come out and be with us. Normally, as we think about a text, we would look at it from start to finish. If we were to do that in this case, the text before 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Sometimes when you look at a Bible text, though, it can be helpful, perhaps even more helpful, in understanding the text or applying the text to look at it in reverse. And that's what we want to do today. I'm going to turn 2 Corinthians 5:17 on its head and look at it in reverse. We start with the end of 2 Corinthians 5:17, where Paul talks about things becoming new. When we think about the Christian life, a key word in Christianity is the word new. If you go outside and you look at most of the leaves right now, they do not look new. I don't know what the leaves look like in your yard, but mine have some brown and they're crinkled and they're not all that attractive if they're on the ground and been rained on and so forth. At this time of year, leaves begin to shrivel up and lose eventually some of their beauty. What we see happening with leaves in life is also what happens with our life. When we think about the Bible, there is another word which is important, and that is the word sin. As you start looking at that word sin, it's used in places like Romans 6:23. Paul said, "For the wages of sin is death." Sin is bad news. It makes us like the old leaves. And the thing which is called sin back in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, he said in Isaiah 59 and verse 2 that sin causes a separation. There's a great chasm between us and God because of sin. Sin is a really serious problem. It's also a problem that affects all people. In the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul says, after talking about two different groups of people, he says in 3:10, "None is righteous, no, not one." And then 13 verses later in Romans 3:23, he says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All deserve death. All have been separated from God because of sin. Now someone says, well, who are these people that are the sinners in Romans 3? When Paul says, "None are righteous, all are sinners." He explains in Romans 1 the people who were the Gentiles, the non-Jews, he said they were sinners. And he lists in Romans 1 a number of sins associated with the Gentiles. Then he turns to the Jews in Romans chapter 2 and says, the Jews, just like the Gentiles, were also sinners. Paul was speaking about people old enough to know right from wrong. People who broke God's law, that's what sin is, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. The Bible, as you go back a little earlier in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 21, it tells us that people sin from their youth. They're not born in sin. There is no original sin. There is no inherited sin. But once we're old enough to learn God's law and do what's right, we break God's law, 1 John 3 and verse 4. Because of that, we create a debt which we can't pay. It is that debt, once we reach that time in life, and for some people it's the early teen years, sometimes it's the later teen years, but once we reach that point in life, we sin. We're like an old, crinkled up leaf out there in the yard. We're no longer new. We've been disconnected from God. Young people, though, do not need that kind of cleansing because they are evil from their youth, not birth. Now someone says, well, if sin makes me like an old, crinkled up leaf, can things be corrected? Well, yes. We already saw from the end of 2 Corinthians 5:17 that new life is possible. That word new indicates to us that the condemnation, the guilt from sin, can be completely overcome. If we've watched the four seasons, and most of us in this assembly have, we've seen the time when winter passes and spring comes. When spring comes, once again, things look new. Trees that drop their leaves bring forth new leaves. The beauty that was lost is regained. Paul says in the spiritual realm, it's also possible for us to achieve new life. Somebody says, well, let's learn a little bit more about that new life. Okay. Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, after Paul says at the end of the verse, things can become new, he says they're old things. And he says this newness means that the old things are passed away. That's simply another way of describing forgiveness of sins. It's another way of saying that our life with God has been refreshed. You may remember from the book of Matthew in the first chapter, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. There the text tells us that Jesus came for a purpose. Jesus came to forgive our sins. With that forgiveness, we have new life. We just had the Lord's Supper. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28 is one place where we read about the Lord's Supper, and Jesus associated the Lord's Supper with the forgiveness of sins. The very first sermon, the very first recorded sermon in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 38, it talks about the old things passing away. It talks about the new life. It talks about the ability to be redeemed by the blood of Christ. It's stated a little differently in Acts 3 and verse 19. Acts 3:19 says our sins can be blotted out so that we can have that new life, so that the old things can be wiped clean, passed away. The slate is wiped entirely clean by God. Along with the word new, and along with the word that our words passed away in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, as we look at that text, we find something else backing up a little bit more. He talks about the old things. What are the old things in 2 Corinthians 5:17? I don't know about you, but there are some old things in life which are extremely valuable. Did you see the Rembrandt painting that is currently up for auction? Millions of dollars are going to be paid for that, even though it's old. There are the old things that people are, there are other old items which are unwanted. People say, well, this has been around for a long time. It's come with us through about three moves. It's been with us for 40 years of marriage. It's old. It's dilapidated. It's stinky. We don't want it anymore. Sometimes there are old things which are repulsive. The old things in 2 Corinthians 5:17 describe the breaking of God's laws, as we saw from 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Paul was emphasizing to the Corinthians, your past way of life, your sins, they've been forgiven by God. Your lives are new. In another book, Ephesians 4:22, Paul says it was the old man. Now, sometimes people refer to the old man today to describe someone who's aged, but that's not the old man here. The old man is the old way of doing things. The old man is the way of the devil. The old man is the way of life before we become a Christian. Paul picked up on this same point in Colossians 3, verse 9, when he talked about your former doings, the way that you used to live. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, he gets even plainer. He says, you lived in these things. This was your way of life. These were your habits. This was your custom. This was the typical way that you lived. And Paul said, you are very, very familiar with that. Some, as they look at the Christian life, they don't see much difference between the Christian and the non-Christian. They might see the Christian as someone who simply does a few more good works. The Christian is someone who has adjusted his or her speech a little bit. The Christian is someone who just goes to worship from time to time. When you start looking at the Bible, that is not the picture that you get of someone who is a Christian. The Christian is someone who has taken that old way, the old way of life, and shut the door on that to the best of their ability and said, I am not going to live in that way any longer. God has called me to a new way of life, and that's what I'm going to do my best to do 7 days a week. The Christian is someone who says, and it's going to vary from person to person, there was an old way, but my life has changed. I used to be like that dying, that crinkled up leaf. I put away that type of life. I put away the drugs. I put away the bottle. I put away the abuse. I put away the anger. I put away the gossip. I put away the dishonesty. I put away the hate. I put away the jealousy. All those things that are the works of the flesh. Now someone says, well, you're living a perfect life. Oh, no. No, I'm not. Do those things still sometimes seep out? Yes, they do. But we're doing our best to say that is the old way and I don't want to live that way anymore. The Christian is someone who actively leaves behind the old ways of the devil. As Paul lists these behaviors for the Colossians, he makes it clear that they too had changed. He makes it clear that they had pursued the new way and those old things had passed away. Well, that's Paul's message to the Corinthians as well in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. He says, you also have pursued the new way. You have a new lease on life because of your decision. Not being like a dried up leaf sounds like a pretty good deal to me. I hope it sounds like a pretty good deal to you. And I suggest that if people could see that from Scripture, they'd ask the question, how does the process work? If I want that new life, if I want the old things to be passed away, if I want that slate to be clean, what must I do? Well, if you ask a lot of religious people, you're going to get a lot of different answers. Sometimes, because of all the different answers in the religious world, people say we just can't know what's right. It's just too confusing because there's so many ideas. Well, if we've got a Bible question, why not go to the Bible? That makes sense to me. And if we open up the Bible, we begin to find some answers. Let's take a look. And I have put three different colors on this slide to help make things a little easier to follow. Let's start with the green. As Paul talks about the Colossians, remember these are the people who had put off the doings. These are the people who had the old manner of life that they had lived in. Colossians 2, if we back up just one chapter from Colossians 3 to Colossians 2. Colossians 2:11 says, putting off the old body of the flesh. That's another way of saying that they had lived in sin. And then that second item in green, Colossians 2 and verse 13, he says, and you were dead through your trespasses. You lived in that old way, and Paul says that didn't physically kill you, but spiritually that made you dead in the sight of God. Uncircumcision in your flesh, that was really bad news. He's making the point, just like 2 Corinthians 5:17, that when you become guilty of sin, that sucks the spiritual life out of you. That is, going back to Isaiah 59 and verse 2, that sin separates you from God, and you are spiritually dead. Paul said you were sunk in sin, but someone came along, and someone somehow bailed you out. How do I know that? Look at the red, Colossians 2:13. Even though you were spiritually dead, there was someone, this he made you alive. He took you, the dead leaf, and made you fresh, and made you new. And he explains at the end of that verse, he says, forgiving us not just our trespasses, but all our trespasses. You see, when God cleans someone from sin, it is not a partial cleaning. It is not a major cleaning. It is a full cleaning. So God says, here's the problem. A solution is available. And somebody says, well, that's good news, but how did the solution operate? Let's back up to verse 12 in blue. He says, having been buried with him in baptism. Well, that's interesting. Paul said the Colossians had been buried in baptism. Now, he doesn't elaborate very much on that. So if we have some other information about that, we'll have to seek that from somewhere else. But for now, before we leave Colossians 2, let's think for a second. Let's focus for a moment on the word buried. Paul said the Colossians had been buried in baptism. Have you ever seen anything buried in your lifetime? I've seen a few things buried. I've buried a few things. And if you've seen something buried or if you buried something, chances are you know that you did not see someone come up and sprinkle a little dirt on something like a grave. If you're going to bury something, you don't pour a little dirt on something. If you're going to truly bury something, it is covered. If it's in the ground, you're going to have that hole covered with dirt. If you're going to bury something in the water, it's going to be beneath the water. When Paul talks about baptism, he says that you were buried, you were immersed, you were dipped, you were plunged, and that is the meaning of the word that he used. Well, to make sense of why the Colossians were buried in baptism, we can go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Still sticking with that verse, he says, there's the newness, there's the passing away, there are the old things. He says, you're this new creature. But how does that work? He said, you are a new creature because you've been moved somewhere. Over here, you're with the devil. Over here, you're with the world. But Paul says, when you experienced this new process, it was because you were located in Christ. That's important. Now, I can't cover it in this lesson, but if you look in your Bible, as far as trying to look at the words in Christ, you'll find that those two words appear together about 90 times. That's probably an entire series of sermons. And if you were to look through your Bible and you were to look for all the places that in Christ occurs, one of the places that you would find those two words will be 2 Timothy 2:10. And let's see what Paul has to say about in Christ. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation, which is in Christ. There's that wording again, in Christ Jesus. Paul says salvation is in Christ. Now, if salvation is in Christ, that implies that salvation is not in Christ, or salvation is not found outside of Christ. Here are the people. They had lived in sin, Colossians 3. Verses 5 through 7, they were lost, spiritually dead. But Paul says you have been buried with baptism. And now Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:10 that there is salvation in Christ. Well, all those things go together. As we start thinking about, in Christ, that's where salvation is. That's how I get out of sin. How do I get into Christ? How do I find or enter into the place where salvation is? Well, if we look at the religious world, they have a lot of different ideas. One person might say you pray your way into Christ. Perhaps that's right. Another person says you simply need to believe in Jesus as your personal Savior. And perhaps that's right. Another person says you need to repent. You need to change your life. And once you repent, you're going to be in Christ. That could be right. Another person says you need to confess Christ. And once you confess Jesus as Lord, you're going to be in Christ. That might be correct. Another person might say, well, simply join a church and you're going to be in Christ. Well, the question becomes, how do we get into Christ? Does the Bible have anything to say about that? Well, let's see. In Romans 6:3, this was also written by Paul. He says, are you ignorant? Don't you know? Can't you recall this simple point? Are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus? How do we get into salvation where Christ is? Or into Christ where salvation is? Paul says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, we're baptized. What happens when we're baptized into Christ? Salvation, new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It was only after the baptism that life was new. This isn't the only time that Paul spoke of this. In another letter that he wrote, Galatians 3 and verse 27, he says, for as many of you as were baptized, just like the Colossians were baptized, he says you were baptized into Christ and you put on Christ. Baptized into Christ. Belief, yes. Repentance required. Confession, sure. Believing that Jesus is going to come back and that he was raised from the dead, all those things are great and wonderful and necessary. But the Bible also says that there is the need to be baptized into Christ, to put on Christ. Have we been baptized into the Lord? That's the question that we have. And that's the question that we are hoping that you will answer today and answer in an affirmative way. You want that new life in Jesus Christ. Let's go back and take a look at that slide once again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, where we started. Wherefore, if any man, sometimes in the world you'll hear people say, well, you can't be saved, you weren't one of the chosen, or you can't be saved because you're too bad, you can't be saved for this reason or that reason. God says that's false. If any man, young, old, rich, poor, black, white, Jew, Gentile, educated or uneducated, you can go down the list. And God says, whoever you are, wherever you are, whenever you live during the Christian era, if any man decides to be in Christ, how do I get there? You're baptized into him. If any single person makes that commitment and decision, the Bible says you are a new creature. That is God's promise to you. The old things in your life. Somebody says, well, I've done all these bad things. God says it does not matter. Enter into Christ. All the old things are passed away. Behold, they become new, just like that new leaf in the spring. Do you want to be like that old leaf that's out there dead, or a new leaf that you see each spring? The choice is ours. And let's make it now as we stand and sing the selected song.